clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. Stewards or stewards? Which one is it? Stewards? Yeah. Welcome to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Heyday Tuesdays. I'm going to just warn you guys, I'm wound up today. I'm on both allergy drugs today, nose spray and pills. So I'm wound up. That's the reason why I don't do this every day, because I get really wound up on that stuff. All right, let's see what is happening today. Let's check out some temperatures in the Oklahoma and Texas Ag Belt. 63 degrees at Goodwill, 60 degrees at Slap Out, 45 degrees at Alva, 49 degrees at Lahoma, 49 degrees at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 59 degrees at Mangum, 59 at Fort Cobb, out here in the Texas Panhandle, 59 degrees at Lipscomb, 57 at Dozer, 61 degrees at the big city of Odell, Texas, down there across the Red River Bridge, south of Altus. We got lots going on today. I think Brandon's coming on. I texted him a while ago. We'll see what happens. And if not, I got plenty to talk about. First of all, I was reading this article. Let me get over here. I was reading this article on tractors, the automatic kind, the autonomous, however they say that. They're doing this up in Iowa, working out where the grain cart, trailer, tractor, the combine, everything is automatic. And they're doing some numbers on it to compare it to labor cost and other stuff that goes along with the stuff. It's pretty interesting. You guys get a chance. Go to AgWeb's Farm Journal's website and check it out. And it's all not peaches and cream like people think it is. Yes, labor's hard to find. Labor, our labor force just sucks. That's all. I mean, not our labor don't suck. Just finding somebody to fit your operation, it's tough. And I don't mean the labor sucks. I'm just saying it's just tough deal out there to get. And you wouldn't believe the one thing that caught my eye is, let me scroll down here to what it was. And, you know, what they're doing is they're comparing labor rates, production costs, field size, equipment efficiency, and machinery cost. This is what caught my attention. The subscription cost to run this automatic equipment is off the chart. So, looks like to me, you could, it says here, per the analysis, autonomy pays off when the labor rates are greater than $44 per hour. So, if there's any farmers or ranchers around here listening, and you're paying, I don't know, I'll give you a break. If you're paying 40 bucks an hour, you call me. I'm going to quit the radio show today, and I'm going to work for you. I do need insurance. I do need, I like 40 hour weeks. Does it come with a vehicle? Any expense counts? No, I'm just kidding. Think about that. $44 an hour is where automatic equipment, not automatic equipment, but autonomy equipment, starts to pay off. Whoa. Let's find out what happened in our big old world of ag today. I was looking at the deal while ago. Grains are taking a major hit today, but let's see why. Wheat futures dropped to a 6-week low as the potential for ceasefire in the Black Sea becomes more of a possibility. I don't get it. Why are they hitting wheat on this deal? There's not that much wheat comes out of Ukraine. And it ain't coming here, and it ain't going to none of our major customers. So it's just some reason to screw the farmer out of 5 cents a bushel or 10 cents a bushel. Talks between the U.S. and Ukrainian officials in Berlin, of all places, has reportedly made progress towards a ceasefire that would see the end of the ongoing hostilities between Russia and Ukraine. The countries have been at war since February of 2022. Several ships have been attacked by both sides in the waterway, with the latest move on a strike on a Russian submarine by a Ukrainian drone. These Ukrainians, I don't know if the Americans are over there learning, but these Ukrainians, they got this drone deal down to an art. You guys should Google or YouTube some Ukrainian drone stuff. It ain't just like NASA stuff. They're flying these things in the side of windows of vehicles. It's cool stuff. Ukrainian president said yesterday that any ceasefire will need to come with certain guarantees and should include monitoring from outside countries. Punishments for breaking any agreed upon ceasefire would need to be in place before any agreements are made. World output was forecast by the USDA last week at 837.81 million metric tons. That's up a little over 1% from the previous month's outlook. Canadian wheat production will come up to about 39.95 million metric tons this year, up from 35.93. So not really. Yeah, that's quite a bit, actually, 4 million tons, according to Canada. And then what else is going on? It says the USDA said it now sees Canadian output at 39.96 million metric tons, up from the previous estimate of 37 million metric tons. Wheat futures for March delivery fell 2¾ cents to 5.18 a bushel in Chicago. Kansas City futures lost a penny and a half to 5.10½. And then corn futures for March delivery fell a half a penny to 4.39¼ a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery came up a penny and three quarters to 10.83 a bushel. Soy meal was up $3 at 309.60 a short ton. And soy oil lost 0.53 cents overnight to 49.48 cents a pound. All right, what else we got going on here? Inspections of corn and soybeans for overseas delivery were lower week to week, while wheat assessments improved. Corn inspections were reported at 1.58 million metric tons. That was still higher than the 1.15 inspected same week last year. Examinations of soybeans for export total 795 million metric tons. That's down from 1.03 million tons the previous week, and the 1.7 million tons inspected the same point a year earlier. Wheat inspections, meanwhile, came up to 488 million metric tons. That's up from 396 and way up from last year at 302,000 tons to be exact. Since the start of the marketing year, the government has inspected 22.5 million metric tons of corn. That's up from 13 million last year. Soybean assessments beginning September now stand at 13.7 million metric tons. That's down from 25 million tons at this point a year earlier. Wheat inspections at the start of the grain marketing year on June the 1st was reported at 14.1 million metric tons, and that's up from 11.6 million tons in the same time frame last year. That today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic happy hour, all hour, and I just want to let you guys know that the future Dr. Madison Duzak is back in town helping Taylor out down there at Stockman's Vet. I went by there and seen him yesterday, and they were busy. She just did a big old Simmental cow. I don't even remember where this from, Roger Mills County. She was standing up in the chute, and they did a C-section on her. Beautiful calf, little Simmental blaze phase calf come out of it, and he was ready to go. Did a C-section on it. I think the gentleman there told me she wouldn't dilate, so they had to do the C-section. But yeah, the future Dr. Duzak Madison, she is back in there, and she hasn't changed. She said it's hard, but I think she's think it comes easy for her. She's a pretty smart girl. So anyway, you guys need to stop by and see Dr. Dusak down there. They're going to name the new vet building in Stillwater after her. I know they are. I really, really think they are. I got to find a sponsor, somebody to sponsor the naming of that building and see if they'll give up a couple million dollars to make it come true for Madison, but we'll see. But as we move into the winter months, with the ever-increasing input cost for feed, hay, and labor, open cows, bulls that aren't any good, culling open cows, and cows that calve outside your normal calving window is one of the single most important management practices we can do to increase efficiency. And also remember that it's never too early to schedule a herd visit and establish a relationship with Dr. Mouse to discuss any herd health issues that you can avoid. Emergencies can't be prevented, but many herd health problems are easier to prevent than to treat. Let us work with you to help improve your herd's health and your bottom line, from vaccination to prevent disease testing to ensure efficient use of dewormers, and more importantly, the correct antibiotic selection and dose when an issue does come up. We're here to help you. Call Stockman's Vet at 580-225-0200 for all your animal needs. I've never thought about it. I mean, I never put a number to it. I've thought about it. If you think about that, I wonder how much money you lose with your calves, your mama's calving over 4 to 5 months instead of a couple months. I wonder how much money you actually lose on those latter calves if you don't wean, if you're just taking them to the sale barn. I have to ask Brandon that here in a minute, see if the difference. Because just say, most of our operation, most of our cattle guys around here are less than 100 cows per farming operation. Take some of those guys that only have 15 to 20 or 30, and they've got them spread out all over the year. And you take these four here, and then a couple months, 3 or 4 months later, you take a couple. But if you had them all in the same group and can take them all at once, that mean more money? I would think it would, but maybe not. I guess it all depends on the cattle market. So, all right, let's take a Stockman's Vet break, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You could get specific and get them heated jackets and vests. You could get a Milwaukee Tools, or Carlisle Tools, or a toolbox. You could even get a new driver, a car detailing kit. If you know what they want or what they need, you can get specific. Or you can do the easy thing and get them a Napa gift card for Christmas. Don't forget the stockings, air fresheners for the car, flashlights, gloves, tumblers. How about phone chargers, Bluetooth speakers, or hand warmers? You know who's got all of this. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
This Christmas, be sure and visit Dameron Jewelers in downtown Elk City and enjoy savings throughout the store. You'll find Western Oklahoma's finest selection of diamonds, plus custom jewelry pieces, Fossil, Baby G, G-Shock, and Citizens men's and women's watches, unique gift ideas, and more. Holiday hours, they'll be open every Monday through Saturday after Thanksgiving through December 20th, and open Sunday, December 21st from 1 to 5, and Christmas Eve from 9 to 4. Remember, this holiday season, shop local, shop smart, shop Elk City, and shop Dameron Jewelers in downtown Elk City, where they're famous for diamonds.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 8th. 1,302 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 501 brought 437.50. 4 at 564 brought 430. 9 at 597 brought 395. 11 at 634 brought 385. 8 at 680 brought 355. 13 at 746 brought 336. 17 at 897 brought 310. 9 head of heifers at 431 brought 450. 3 at 478 brought 367.55. 8 at 535 brought 380. 13 at 712 brought 330. 18 at 745 brought 320. 4 at 900 brought 272.50. Butcher cows were 58 to 170. Butcher bulls 130 to 189. Bred cows 1475 to 30. 800 pairs brought 3,050 to 3,350. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Today also is Heyday Tuesdays, brought to you by Great Plains Bank. So you guys get your pencil and pen ready when me and Brandon get through talking, go to break, come back. We'll have Heyday Tuesdays. I got a really nice list of hay and some pretty decent deals on some hay. First, here is our Central Crop Care out of Hobart, Oklahoma's grain and livestock update real quick. Kansas City hard red winter wheat, March 505, down 7. May is down 6.5 at 517. Corn, 436 for March, down 3.5. And May corn at 444 is down 3.5. Also, soybeans January 1060 down 11.5. Soybean meal, where's it at? There it is. January 30190 down 160. And March is 30570 down 90. Cattle, let's see what the cattle are doing real quick. Come on, there you go. It looks like, man, things changed in a few minutes when I looked at it last time. February lives are 230.07 down 47. April is 229.70 down 32. Feeders for January 342.02 up $2.10. March is 336.17 up 132. And April is up $1.10 at 334. And lean hogs for February are up 70 cents at 84.55. On the phone with me right now is world famous Brandon Hickey. Manager, owner.
Jimmy.
Yo. Yeah. What else? Are you the manager or is your wife the manager? Trick question.
I am the manager.
Yeah.
At Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction and Elk City Livestock Auction.
Yeah.
She is the boss.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go with that. Yeah. That's a good answer there. You must, yeah. You must have went to marital counseling before.
Yeah. Yeah,
27
years worth of it.
Woo! What, man, you had, and I apologize, I'm still bringing you those other calves, dude. I was sicker than a dog. It was bad. And
it must have been. You wouldn't even answer my text message. So
I was out. And then when I woke up, I was like, oh, man. I'm glad somebody didn't knock on the door looking for some cattle because I wasn't answering. my landlord was really happy. I mean, he's, you know, Bruce, he called me, hey, I got the checks picked up and they did okay. And I said, well, what'd they do? And then he rattled off what those 6 heifers bring. And I said, really? Okay. So they, wow. All of them did way more than what I thought they was going to do. So good job, boss. You did a good job for Bruce.
Well, thank you. Don't call me boss. I'm just the manager.
Oh, yeah, manager. Yeah. Sorry about that. But they, I was just trying to go through there on your deal you sent me last night at Elk City. You guys sold 1,580 head. And... Mm-hmm. there's just not one thing sticks out with girls or boys. They just all did really good.
They did. It was remarkable market. Lots of bidders, lots of buyer activity, lots of competition. I mean, just like you like to see it, like to have it every week. It was an easy day for me. Good quality cattle. Didn't just got to present the cattle to them, and I mean they want them, and that's what you hope for every week, and most of the time you accomplish it, but some weeks are a lot easier than others, and this was one of those easy weeks that sure had lots of bidders, lots of competition, lots of people wanting the cattle, and a good quality of cattle to put out in front of them. So it was a good day.
Yeah, it was like, let's see, let me just say right here. What is like these cutter bulls from Canute, five of them weighing 552, over $4 a pound, $4.15 to be exact. And yeah. It's kind of back up where it was before we had our presidential speech.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing where this thing's got back to, and the amount of people out there that's wanting the calves, and it's particularly amazing. I mean, the wheat right here in our part of the world and to the east is just kind of pretty spotty that it's real good. I mean, there's a lot of places it's not good, and it's really kind of needing a drink again for it to get bad. But there's enough places south of us, southwest of us, that and enough of those irrigation fields that they're needing some cattle to turn out, and they're wanting to buy them, and that's a good thing when makes for an easy day when you got lots of takers. So.
Yeah, big time. It does. And then
we didn't shut off the cows this week because I just hated to, because we're getting close to the end of the year. So we didn't shut off the cows, but I was about to wish that I would have. I think we ended up with 680 some cows.
I was wondering, I mean, I guess it wouldn't matter. I was wondering after I woke up from being sick, so it wouldn't have mattered at that time. But but think of all the taxes you're saving those people by cutting those cow sales off till after the first year. Don't be mad at me, you old cold cow people. I'm just joking. But the bred cows and pairs still phenomenal.
Yeah, really, really, really good, and had some good ones on offer. Lots of competition on them, and gonna have another really good set of young bred cows this week to finish up the year with. Got a set coming down out of Kansas that's big old nice, pretty black, 1,300 pound, three to 5 year old cows. Sure enough, front pasture kind. And gonna have a big cow run. We probably won't shut them off because this is the last sale of the year, last opportunity to get your cows sold, before the new year. So we probably won't cut the cows off this week. We'll probably sell, whatever comes to us, we'll sell. But we probably get started on the calves and yearlings at 2:00, regardless of whether or not we're done with the cows, and then we'll just have to get to the rest of the cows as we can throughout the day. But we're gonna sell everybody that brings the cattle to us this week. We're gonna sell them all. So the people that need to get rid of them before the first of the year, sure enough, got the opportunity to do that. But we will get started on our calves and yearlings right about 2:00, and really got some nice calves and yearlings coming in to us from multiple places. Some really nice wean calves, some really nice big 8-9 weight yearling steers. So we're gonna have a good run and a good offering and a good selection on about everything, cows, calves, stockers, yearlings, feeders, the whole works.
Gonna have it going on with a what was the special Friday at the old cranky old lady's place?
I think meatloaf, I think maybe.
Really?
No, I don't ever get in there in time to get it. So I always just, my special is, I get my breakfast when I get in there in the morning. That gets every Friday morning. I get, two over easy eggs and sausage with gravy on it. and then she usually gives me two or three slivers of hash browns, and that's my every Friday morning breakfast. And then sometime during the day on Fridays, then I'll get a jalapeno cheeseburger and fries. Because most of the time, by the time I decide I'm ready to eat lunch, the special's already gone.
Yeah. Well, define slivers.
Well, yeah, you know, she's kind of conservative on her hash browns. She don't kind of, you know, you kind of gotta, you know, let her know that you you'd like to. She's been giving me a double helping of hash browns the last couple of weeks because I finally harassed her enough about it that she's been double helping me, and that double helping is it's about a single serving, you know. So I'm kind of happy about that. I just ignore that part of it.
So in other words, you're saying she's stingy with potatoes.
We need to add another adjective to that cafe, you know, cranky and stingy old lady cafe. Stingy old lady cafe. There we go. Then we need three adjectives instead of just two. Look at that. My English teacher would be so proud of me. I remember what an adjective was.
mine was... Mine's so proud of me, I graduated and got the hell out of there. So I'm pretty sure, but that's the way that goes. So you got some lots coming in this weekend or this Friday. So this Friday will be your last sale of the year until what, January what?
We'll start at WOLA at Clinton on January 5th, and the first one at Elk City will be January 9th.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So are you having one at Clinton this Monday or not?
Nope.
No.
Nope. This is the last
Elk,
one.
Elk City's...
Yesterday was... Yeah.
Yeah, we're done with Elk City. Yeah. Okay. Let's roll on down I-40 to Western Oklahoma. And another good sale. You had a little over 1,100 head in there. And again, it's just... I don't know what to talk about there. I mean, it was just all good. They had that big group of feeders out of Arapahoe, 880, brought 321 per hundred weight. They had to be super happy. Mm-hmm. And then 674 pound heifers out of Sayre, there was 22 of them, brought 330. And so, I mean, anybody selling at the last two sales had to be tickled if they had, you know, the good cattle, good kind.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I might have quoted our market overall as a whole on the calves and feeders, maybe slightly cheaper than last Monday, not much, but maybe just a little bit cheaper than the Monday before, but still an outstanding market. You know, lots of bidder activity again, lots of people in the barn wanting to buy some calves, wanting to buy those feedlot ready cattle. Butcher cow market might have been a smidgen higher than the Monday before, you know, as they're getting in here fixing to, you know they're about to not have sales for a couple of weeks, so they're trying to gather them some inventory going into the holidays. They'll keep those kill plants running as long as they've got cows to put in them, so they're needing to build up a little inventory to get them through this next couple of weeks when they're not being able to get any sale barn cows. So, you know, they might have been a smidgen higher there Monday compared to a week ago. But the feeder cattle deal and the calves, maybe just a smidgen lower. But boy, man, probably as much as anything, that might have been attributed to the cold north wind we've been having. But all in all, just really, really good again.
Yeah, it was real good. And they, like I said, it just can't. You can't say enough good things about it. I mean, it's really been good for quite a while now. Yeah, we had it was down a little bit, and when we had our speech from Washington, but it was still good even when that was down. And so I got a couple questions to finish off the new year for you, or for the old year for you, and I don't think any of them are trick questions. But there's so you see, it seems like the cattle industry right now, and I'm not talking about cattlemen, I'm talking about cattle industry, And that includes all the cattle associations, anything to do with cattle. And, you know, you keep seeing, I hate social media, but you can't stay off of it because you can't find any information unless you're on it. And that's the bad thing about it. These little phones in our hand has spoiled the world. And you've got all this information in your hand now. So you can't, you know, it's hard to do. But this keeps popping up the last 2 or 3 weeks. They're talking about these environmentally friendly beef genetics, ESG scores, carbon neutrality, carbon scams, beef improvement stuff. This still, it keeps up. And every time I read something about all that stuff, it talks about it's the conspiracy theory that they're trying to push. There won't be any, this gentleman, it's a big cattleman up in North Dakota or South Dakota, one of the states up there. He said that eventually what they're trying to do with all this stuff is there won't be no sale barns no more. And I'm thinking, what the hell is he talking about? And, you know, they're, and then the big four comes in the picture again. Oh my God, this makes me sick. And then this and that. What do you... You see anything out there trying to push you out of business?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, regulations get harder to deal with every year. Labor gets harder to come up with every year. It gets more expensive every year. You know, and but probably, you know, the biggest thing is operations get bigger, they get more in line with the corporations. You know, whether they're privately owned or whether they're corporately owned, they get more in line with those. And so, as you continue to streamline the beef industry, you know, they'll be more and more they'll become less and less sell borns as you go, because they'll just get more and more where they, you know, the cattle will go straight from the ranch to the feedlots, so straight from the feedlots to the packers. You know, the last remaining sale barns will be in these areas where you don't have large conglomerates owning large tracts of land and large numbers of cattle. You know, there's always going to be a place for the sell barns and the auctions where you've got the smaller producers that you know, there's no other way to say this other than that they're too small for the packers to want to do to deal with directly. So you know, you're always going to have a place for an auction to sell those cattle to a bigger operator. You know, and that's what happens most of the time as far as your calf crop goes. You know, the small guys sell them to the bigger guys, and then the bigger guys that are the stocker operators, they sell them then to the bigger guys, which are the feedlot operators, which then sell them to the biggest of all, which is the packers, that then distribute it to the nation for the, you know, as the beef supply. So you know, their goal has been, always will be, they want to streamline it as much as possible. And you know, the less auctions that there are, the less competition there is in bidding, the more they're able to control the market. They cannot control a market that is a open outcry, live auction, true price discovery. They cannot control that market. So you know, they would like to eliminate that. And by they, I'm not just talking about the packers exclusively. I mean they're a part of it, but you know, it's really the elites that own the packers. It's the global elites that want to control everything, and you know, if they can control the food supply, they control everything. And so, you know, it's if they in order to have that full control, they need to eliminate, you know, competitive bidding if at all possible. And that's what they'll their ultimate goal is to do, to eliminate. I mean, they've done it. They've been able to do it in the chicken and the pork industries, and,
yes,
you know, and beef is the next on their deal. You know, that's that's the next protein that it's on their deal to eliminate. And, you know, they haven't come up with a way to eliminate it yet because it just takes so much vast country amount of acreage and time to do beef than it does chicken and pork. So it's been a little bit more of a hassle. You know, they haven't been able to come up with a solution yet. But as long as people, you know, and even these big ranches, you know, if they would just realize, you know, don't make a deal directly with, you know, a feedlot company that's in direct bed with the packers and the corporates. You know, keep those cattle, make them bid for them, make them compete for them. That's the only way to keep our, you know, to keep our industry viable and to keep the market competitive. Because the more streamlining you do, the more they're able to crank down on the prices, you know, and keep it from getting so high, you know. And that's, you know, you and I have talked before. I mean, you know, it's really ridiculous to think that all of our grids are negotiated off the bottom 10% of our cattle that are sold on a live basis.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just crazy to think about that. But that's the way it's went because of the fact that there's not enough packer competition to allow for markets to have a live open outcry market for those feeder cattle. And it's been done and it's attempted and they do it a little bit in places. You know, and thank God they do. There's still a little bit of it to try to kind of keep them a little bit honest. But you know, I wish the day would come back. I don't think we'll ever see it. But I wish the day would come back where we had, you know, 15 or 20 big major packers, and you know, and they're having to bid on those cattle in a live auction scenario instead of going and doing private backdoor, you know, behind the scene. Private room negotiations with procurement guys at feedlots that may or may not be in their pocket. You know, there's no way to regulate that, and the sale barns are overregulated, and the private treaty backroom sweetheart deals are very, very underregulated. You know, so again, it's not just the packers; it's the elites. That own it, that want to supply the food supply, you know. And that was what, you know, when I looked up Tyson's ownership, you know, when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and you know, and I saw that a very large percentage of Tyson is owned by BlackRock, which
yep.
is, you know, very, very, very deeply vested in left wing politics and bigger government and more control, you know. It made a lot of things clear to me.
Oh well, yeah, it's scary what's going on. I don't know. It bothers me that I've seen that come up more and more about the sale barns in the last month or two, whatever you want to call it, and here in the, just recently, because I know what happened to our dairy farms. Mm-hmm. Regulations came in, and I know it's under a different concept and whole different ball game, but milk is a food product just like beef is, and you're right. Mm-hmm. You know, man, I remember growing up, there was a dairy on every corner around here, and now there's yeah. none. And and then yeah. you go drive out there in the Texas Panhandle and see these 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 herd dairy farms out there. And I think if I remember right, we only got one major dairy in Oklahoma, and of course that's Brahms. We got some small dairy still in eastern Oklahoma. They're doing that organic stuff and all natural stuff, which is fine, but they're not in the food chain. So yeah. but you know, and you're right about the hogs and the chickens, you know. That's why man, you mentioned Tyson in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. You better be packing. And yep. you know, because Tyson come in there and got a bunch of these guys to build these buildings and do the chicken thing, and they were buying all from them, and then all of a sudden Tyson cut them off and they didn't have nowhere to go with all this stuff. And now you got a bunch of empty buildings, and now Tyson's doing their own thing. You know, they got them out of the way, and now they got 100% of their market, that the meat that they buy. And right. and then they're doing some people said, you know, they're trying to do the same thing. And it's a lot of things happened with the swine market, the hogs too, the same way, big boys. And that's why you see a lot of people with bad taste in their mouth about the big four. And like I said, man, you don't go into Eastern Arkansas or Northwestern Arkansas and mention Tyson. You'll get you a hillbilly butt whooping.
Well, and that's the sad thing about it. I mean, you know, most of rural America that's involved in ag, we just want to do our thing and be left alone.
You know, exactly.
We want to raise the safest food product in the world, be allowed to sell it at a fair market value, and the only way to know if you're getting a fair market value is if it's a competitive bidding atmosphere, and just be left alone, you know. And unfortunately, the powers that be, you know, they're not going to allow that to happen. I mean, you know, the electronic ID for the adult animals, you know, that's the start of it. You know, the next thing they'll be pushing is electronic ID for all animals, you know, and at that point in time, you know, we'll have a choice. Are we going to, are we going to eliminate all of our little small producers that aren't able to do that? Or are the sale barns going to do it for them, you know, as an added charge, you know, which is then going to require more labor, more liability for us, you know? So it's not a real glowing outlook going forward if something's not done to say enough is enough. You know, we're not going to comply and streamline our industry and allow our industry to be streamlined. You know, what are we going to do that? Are we going to step up and say no? You know, are we going to comply with their regulations and continue to let them slowly but surely, you know, do away with our freedoms in the name of food safety when really it's really ultimately it's all about food control?
Yep. It's all about control. And you kind of nailed it a while ago when you were talking about, you know, they do away the sale barns. The smaller operator is going to sell to a bigger operator. They're close to him. The bigger operator take care of all that stuff. But what happens to all these guys that's got a cow that they wanted to get rid of, cull and get rid of, that had bad bag, and, you know, and a bull that's no longer any good? You know, what are you going to do with those?
Yeah,
that's what your sale barn. Yeah. You know, your sale barns are good for is the, you know, do the culling, and the right buyers always come to the sale barn for the right cull cows and cull bulls and looking for this and looking for that. And I mean, it makes the world go around.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's that. You know, free enterprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Free enterprise has worked since the beginning of time, but the elites can't control that, so they don't. They want that eliminated if at all possible. And I don't know if the chicken and the pork industry could have done something somewhere along the line to have stopped the advancement of what happened to their industries. I've not ever been in those industries, but I know that, you know, the people that were doing that were making their living that way, I'm pretty confident that they feel the same way that all of us beef producers do out here in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Just leave us alone. We're going to raise your beef. We're going to do you a good job. You know, just leave us alone. Let us do our thing. And I don't know if there was something they could have done to have put a stop to what the elites did to their industry. Because I, of course, wasn't in that business, so I don't know if there was something that could have been done, but I do know there's something that can be done in the beef industry.
Yep.
But it's going to take some people with, you know, with some gumption and some resolve to make it happen, to fight against it. And you know, and I know there's some there's a couple of organizations out there that are definitely on the side of fighting that of fighting the streamlining of, you know, wanting to stand up for the property rights and, you know, and the individual. I think Cattle USA and RCAF are both a couple of those organizations, albeit maybe they're not perfect in their policies, but definitely more geared to the individual and the small people than the NCBA is, for sure.
Yep. All right, Mr. Brandon, we went over again. on time.
Better get that hay sold.
I gotta go. Have a good day. We'll see you Friday.
See ya.
All right, we're going to take a Stockman's Vet break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Winter is right around the corner. Don't wait to secure the best nutrition for your herd. Call now to book your winter contracts for cattle feed, including our premium Mix 30 liquid feed. Give your cattle the edge this season and make sure they stay healthy during the cold winter months. Call us or stop by today here at SEI Agritech in Elk City for all of your feed needs. Follow us on Facebook for updates and more information.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
I've banked First National my whole life as an ag producer. We understand. I'm over here in Elk City. Monty's over at Sayre. We're both operators. We have a real life experience on the situation. If times are tough, it's not just for our customers. We feel it too. When it's dry, when rates are up, we're able to communicate with management and everybody, hey, this is the situation. Our customers feel comfortable knowing that we get what they're talking about. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. You got your pencil and pen ready? I'm going to do a couple of these before I go. I have to take another break. We got 153 bales of blue stem Bermuda grass mix, $60 a bale. 92 bales of native grass, love grass, hay mix. No, they sold that. Block that off. Never mind on that one. 74 bales of wheat rye mix hay, $50 a bale. 580-729-2436. 580-729-2436. That's located over there south of Sayre, not too far. Also at Carter, we got 230 bales of rye hay. Wrong one. Back up here. 200 bales of, 400 bales. There we go. I got it right now. My glasses were playing tricks on me. 400 bales of rye hay, $50 a bale. by Carter. Loading available, 580-729-0356. 580-729-0356. Let's take a Stockman Vet break. Be right back. We'll finish up the show with some more hay.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
House shoes are always a good little stocking stuffer or just like a cozy little gift to get. House shoe with a blanket combined, I don't feel like you can go wrong there. We have a brand called Spongel. It's soap on a sponge and it goes up to like at least 25 plus uses. That's a great stocking stuffer to come in and get. We also have little jewelry boxes. We have teleties. We have perfume. So several different items to look out for stockings.
What are those right over there? They look familiar. Oh, what am I pointing at?
Those beautiful nutcrackers. I just love nutcrackers. They are just so fun and just make a great table display.
Tell me about these things right here, these trees.
They kind of remind me of the Whoville trees. They are just fun addition to winter, and I feel like you can leave them up all winter long. It's not just one of those Christmas trees that you feel like you want to just take down as soon as Christmas is over. Any gift you buy, whether it is small or you have four bag loads, we offer free gift wrapping.
Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, now located at 1503 West 3rd Street in Elk City.
Are you looking for the perfect place to call home this Christmas? Culverstone Homes in Elk City is here to make it happen. Step into a beautiful, energy-efficient home built for comfort, family, and lots of holiday memories. And if you need space for your toys, tools, or business, Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone has you covered with durable, customizable buildings made to fit any lifestyle. Damon Culver and Terry Stone, along with their families and crew, would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
An I-40 acreage near Canute can be yours Monday, December 29th. The seller is Jerry Bohannon, and his 21 acres of land are on the west edge of Canute. Auction will be at the property at 1 p.m. Prime I-40 Route 66 land. XIT Auctions is conducting the auction. For information, call Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440. Online at xitauctions.com. 21 acres on I-40 on the west side of Canute will sell Monday, December 29th at 1 p.m. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is a lot more than just a cattle show. See for yourself January 4th through the 14th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics. Something for every operation. Enjoy the commercial cattleman's luncheon January 8th at 11 a.m. with the commercial female replacement sale at 1 p.m. For a full schedule and sale information, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hey, I just got a few minutes left here. Brandon and I took it up. More hay for sale. Hay Day Tuesday, brought to you by Great Plains Bank. Here's 200 bales of Planet Prairie Grass Mix. Horse quality. Big round bales, $40 a bale. 913-915-6464. Hay bales here north of Elk City. Blue Stem, Native Grass, and Legume Mixture. Call 821-1611. Very nutritious, they said. And then 230 bales of rye hay, good rye hay, $70 a bale, down by Carter also. Can Hall for additional fee, 580-821-4816. And last one here, 80 bales of fertilized love grass, $60 a bale, Allison, Texas, delivery available, 580-449-1192. There you have it. Got any questions about the hay, give me a shout. I'll help you out on that deal. There's plenty of other hay for sale. Hay market just not all that great right now, but that blizzard's coming, gentlemen. Stock up on that hay. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. You guys have a blessed day, and God bless.